Psalm 119. This is a very unusual psalm. As you have noticed, it's divided into sections, and each section is represented by a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And in the original way that it is written, that letter plays some factor in the way that it is written. It's either the beginning letter or it's a prominent letter in the particular section. But it all has one main theme all the way through it, and that is the Word of God. And it explains the effect of the Word of God. It talks about how we should desire after the Word of God. It's all on the Word of God. That's the main theme and sole theme all the way through. There's another interesting aspect about this psalm. You can take any verse from any part of the psalm and skip to any other verse within the psalm, and it will make sense. It will not be disjointed. You can pick and choose from all over and just read, and it will make sense. So there's a very unusual psalm, section of scripture, because it's the longest chapter in scripture, and it's all on one theme, and it has some of those unusual characteristics to it. I want us to examine for our study today verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Very simple verse. Asks a question, gives an answer. And in those short little words, we can discern the kind of person who is asking the question and seeking the answer. First of all, we can notice that this person is culpable. He's guilty. He's guilty of sin. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He's guilty. Secondly, we notice he's guilty by custom. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That word way means a well-trodden path. This person is not only guilty, but guilty many times over. Well-trodden. Been down this road many times. How shall I cleanse my way? How shall I cleanse this thing that has a grip on me that I follow constantly? We notice, third, that this person is concerned. Doesn't want to go that way. He wants his way cleansed. He's been convicted of his sin. And he's concerned about not walking that way any longer. I know what my condition is, and I want to be cleansed from that. I don't want to go that way anymore. How shall I be cleansed from walking in that path? We also note a note of confusion. How shall I do it? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And I don't think it's necessarily just for men or young men. Wherewithal shall a person cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I want us to look at the answer he gives. By taking heed thereto. Just in the phrase, take heed, there is a multitude of things that are involved in that phrase, because in the Hebrew language, the definition of those words is about 10 lines long. Now, they're not full sentences, but 10 different things that help to explain what it means to take heed according to the Word of God. We're not going to look at 10. I want us to look at 3. 3 of the ways that this phrase can be applied and has meaning. One of them, the way you can take it, is to meditate. It has to do with meditation. A second way taking heed has to do with admonition. Take heed. It's kind of like you might say to your child who's going off to school or going out, be careful. Watch what you're doing. Take heed. And a third way that it is taken is by application. Take heed. So I want us to examine those three different ways and see how they apply to us and how they help us cleanse our way, become more holy, might be another way to phrase it. Holiness in life, walking a pure walk. How does the Word of God accomplish that? And we'll look at three different ways that this phrase, take heed to the Word of God, how it helps bring that about in cleansing our way. First of all, we'll take the first one, which has to do with meditation. For take heed, one of the meanings is to retain, to treasure up in the memory, is one of the meanings of take heed. Now, in our day and age, when we begin to mention meditation, oftentimes that carries a bad meaning, bad association, because there are some religions of our day that have taken that and have distorted it. And so when a Christian, or we run across it in Scripture and it says to meditate, all we think of is the people sitting around with their legs crossed moaning an obtuse tone. And just kind of sitting there with blank looks on their face, trying to completely free their minds of any conscious thought and just kind of meld themselves into nothingness. And that's kind of the image we have in our day when you mention meditation. Oh, meditation? I don't want to meditate. You know, that's got bad connotations to it. But when we come to Scripture and we see what Scripture says about meditation, it's entirely different from that. For the word that is translated into our English word meditate literally means to talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. So when we come to meditation in Scripture and we come to meditating on Scripture, in essence what the Scriptures are instructing us to do is to talk to ourselves about this that I'm looking at, that I'm reading, that I'm pondering. Talk to yourself about it. Ponder it. Think about it. Study it. Try and pick it apart and see what it means. Far different from the common meaning of our day. So one of the means that the psalmist uses here to encourage us in our cleansing of our way is to meditate upon God's Word. Now, what are some of the topics or some of the things that we can meditate on? What can we see in Scripture that we need to ponder and to talk to ourselves about? Well, I have a long list, and I'm not going to go through the long list, but just to throw out some suggestions to you. First of all, you can meditate and ponder on the nature of God. Given a particular passage, it's not going to have all of these things in it, but I'm going to mention a lot of things so that you can then look for them in Scripture, if you see what I'm trying to drive at here. But first of all, there's the nature of God. Does this passage tell me anything about the nature and character of God? A loving God, gracious God, merciful God, a God of justice, a God of judgment, a God of faithfulness. Does this passage tell me anything about the nature of God? And to think about that in relation to me. Does this passage tell me anything about the nature of man? My nature. We don't like to always do that, do we? Because it's not very flattering. Because most likely it's going to tell us that we are sinful, that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. It's going to tell us that we are helpless. It's going to tell us that we need a Savior. It's going to tell us that our works are worthless, and those are all things that we kind of like to hold on to as having value to us. And sometimes we even measure our own worth by them. Say, well, I can do this, so therefore I must be of value. Boy, the Lord really cornered me on one this week. I was praying, and one of the days during the week I set aside for a day. I have several lists that I go through, and the specific aim of that time of prayer is praying and asking the Spirit of God to convict me of sin. Not waiting for it to come out of the blue, but here's a conscious time I'm going to set aside, and I'm going to devote it to praying and asking the Spirit of God to convict me of sin. And I go through a series of some scriptures, some just different kinds of sin. I was going through the Ten Commandments recently, and I came to the third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And we typically have that meaning in our day of cursing, swearing. And that really is what it's dealing with. I mean, we shouldn't do that. I mean, that's wrong, but that isn't what that command is dealing with. Speaking of, the issue of that command is don't make false vows. Let your word be truthful. When you say you're going to do something, you will do it. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Don't say, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to do this. And he showed me when I had a vain, false vow. Boy, that hit me. We don't like to see ourselves that way. But that's part of cleansing our way, is understanding our true nature and finding cleansing and relief in Christ. Another thing we can look at is a promise. Is this passage a promise? A promise that I should claim, a promise I have failed to claim. Is this giving me an example of someone, an example I should follow, or perhaps an example to avoid? Don't be like David was when he looked out and lusted after another man's wife. Don't follow that example. There are plenty of examples in David's life that we can, however, follow. This is one of them. This particular aspect that we're studying here today. Well, there's a long list of things that you could put down to meditate upon and think upon from God's Word that will help cleanse your way. Help make a new path so that you don't go the old ways anymore, but you go a new path. Well, that kind of meditation has fallen on hard times. Believers today do very little meditating. We do very little reading of Scripture, let alone meditate upon it. Think about it. Ponder it. And there are a lot of legitimate things that interfere, some of them not so legitimate. But we certainly have stress in our day. We certainly have an abundance of activities and functions that call and cry and demand our time. And even church demands things out of us that can cause our schedules to be really confused and crowded. David says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. Meditate upon it. Retain it in the memory. Study it. Think about it. Second thing involved in this little phrase, or included in the meaning of this phrase, by taking heed, is this thought of admonition. And I gave the example of what you might say to your child, someone you love, be careful, watch what you're doing, take heed, watch out for things. It's an admonition. It means take watch, watch out, mark things, keep your eyes open, keep alert. It's a word of advice and counsel. And the Word of God is certainly a source of counsel and advice and direction. Again, we oftentimes don't like the counsel it gives because it goes contrary to our human nature. And it conflicts with our humanness and what we want to do. God, I don't want to do that. Well, you want to cleanse your way or don't you? Then give heed. Take heed to the counsel and admonition and warning of Scripture. A very dire one that I disregarded for many years. Scripture say, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, as the manner of some is. We have a tendency to apply that verse only in marriage. It certainly applies there, but that isn't actually what it's talking about. The literal meaning there, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, is talking about don't make contractual commitments together with people who are not believers. Don't make a common enterprise with those who are not believers. And I did that for many years. And it ultimately was my undoing. We don't always like the counsel that God gives. But if we would follow it, if we would take heed, if we would listen to the counsel and the advice of Scripture, we would do as David said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to look after the other woman. I'm not going to do that. Well, that's contrary to my human nature. The Scriptures say, don't covet. I want to covet. I want. That's contrary to my nature, but wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By listening to the admonition and counsel and warning of Scripture. Don't go down that path. I'm going to protect you. I have the best in store and in mind for you. If you will follow my counsel and my advice and walk according to my laws and precepts, you will be blessed. Well, the Scriptures not only give abundant examples of meditation, but they also give abundant examples as to the admonition of Scripture. For example, you'll notice right here, and we don't need to look any farther than the first three verses of this psalm. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Taking the admonition of Scripture, the instruction, the reminders, the warnings, the counsel, following it, you cleanse your way. You won't walk down that old, trodden, well-formed path, but you'll walk in holiness and righteousness. There's a third way in which this phrase, take heed, can be used and meant, and that is application. Take heed. Not just are you warned, not just are you encouraged to think about it and to ponder it, but apply it. Take heed. When it says don't go that way, don't go that way. When it says think about me, God saying that, think about God. So the emphasis in a third respect has to do with application. The observation of what you read. The application, the doing of what Scripture says to do. The keeping of the law. The following the counsel and advice and warning of Scripture. The disregarding of those examples of those in Scripture who walked in sin. Don't walk that way. walk according to the examples that we see that we are to emulate and copy, like Moses, like David, like Paul, like Peter, and others that we could name. To apply the Scripture and to take heed to it. We find then, when we do that, that the Scriptures are going to do a lot of things, but just two I would mention. Number one, it's going to rebuke us. It's going to identify for us ways in which we have not applied the warning and counsel of God's Word. We have failed, and it's going to rebuke us. It's going to identify those aspects of that well-trodden path that are unclean. It's going to censure us. It's going to correct us. Painful? Sometimes. Beneficial? Always. So there's rebuke from Scripture, but we also find in Scripture, by applying it, by doing it, there is a reform. There is a change of life. We don't walk the old path anymore. We walk a new path. We don't perform automatically the old habits anymore. We have new ways of acting. We don't think the same way we used to think. We think a new fashion. Does it happen overnight? No. But does it happen? It happens. If you take heed according to the Word of God. The mind does change. The thought patterns do correct. We do begin to follow God's law. We do begin to live righteous, holy lives. We do begin to find cleansing for our ways. Again, the Scripture confirms this in other places. For example, if you want to drop down just a couple of verses from number 9, we find verse 11, which many of you probably know, and maybe you didn't know that was the reference, but it's there. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? That I might not sin against thee. The Scriptures say, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." So there are times when Scripture can identify through light. It gives us a way in which we are to walk and to follow the Lord. There's a couple other references in the New Testament. We'll look at those because they're very clear in their statement of the role of the Word of God relating to its application. As Romans chapter 2, verse 13, if you don't want to look at them, I'll read it. It says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law are justified." So it's not just enough to know what the law says, and it's not just enough to say, "Well, that's good. I should walk that way. I should live that way. I should think like that." But we're actually to walk that way, to live that way, to act in that fashion, to think those kinds of thoughts. It's then that we begin to find the cleansing action of God's Word. Another one is in James chapter 1. Starting in verse 22, several verses here. James 1, 22. Says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Did I have my hair parted right? Did I actually wash that spot off my forehead that was there? Did I actually get my lipstick on straight, or did I clear that little spot where I went too high? Did I get it off my teeth? You know, we forget those things. The mirror, you see them when you're away from the mirror. Oh boy, did I or didn't? And we look in the mirror again. That's what a hearer of the word is. Someone who only hears it. Someone who doesn't apply it. That's what you're like. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," verse 25, "and continueth therein, He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we start out with a question and an answer. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word. Well, what are the implications of this brief examination of this verse? Well, there's several. Number one, the prominence of God's word should play in our lives. Do you read it? Do you spend any time each day reading God's word? We'll start with that. Just reading it. Do you read a few verses? Do you read a chapter? Do you read a section? I'm not saying, do you read it for an hour? I'm not asking that. I'm asking you to take 10 minutes, 15 minutes to read God's word. See what it says. That's a start. But it should have a far greater role in our lives than that. We should think about it, ponder it, meditate upon it. Take heed to the counsel and warnings that it gives and apply it. It will cleanse our ways. So we see the prominence and the importance of God's word in our lives. Secondly, we see the purpose of God's word. It isn't just for information. This isn't just a book to give us interesting facts and stories and sidelights and just giving information. It is a book of action. It is a book of application. It is a source from which we draw upon the knowledge and the wisdom of God that He has revealed to us about Himself and about ourselves, how He wants us to live and how we can live that way. By taking heed according to His word. It also reveals to us the blessed provision of God. God doesn't just throw us to the dogs. He doesn't just say, be holy, and then leave it up to our own imaginations or our own devices to try and figure out how to do that, or even what that means. But He gives to us His word that shows us, that directs us, counsels us, warns us, corrects us, encourages us. Oh, what a gracious God we have. A merciful God. A kind, loving God who's protecting and looking out for His children. Well, what can the Holy Spirit do with these brief comments, these brief truths that we've looked at? Well, first of all, He can inform us. There is instruction. How can we become more holy? How can I cleanse my way from sin? How can I walk in righteousness? The answer is given here. By taking heed according to thy word. The suggestion being meditation. Scriptures give us many examples of meditation. Joshua, for example, when God was giving counsel and direction to Joshua when he was about ready to embark on the attack into the promised land and they were leading the people, what did He say to them? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest do according to all that is written therein. For then shall thy way prosper, and thou shalt have good success. Meditating upon God's word. David, the Psalms have numerous references to meditating. And just in this Psalm 119, there are maybe 7 or 8 different references to meditation and meditating upon God's word. So we're encouraged to meditate. We're encouraged by admonition. And we'll quit in a minute. It'll pick it up. We're encouraged that it will be an admonition to us. It will admonish us, correct us. Don't walk that way. Words of warning and counsel. And the word of God last will, when applied, produce results. So it can be a way of instruction. The second thing the Spirit of God can do with this is encourage us and comfort us in this fashion. I feel very confident that you would not be here if you were not interested in walking with the Lord. You wouldn't be here. On some level, you have a hunger and a desire and a thirst to walk after God, and that you might find some way, as this person cried out, how shall I cleanse my way? How shall I walk in holiness? How can I do that? There's comfort. Here's encouragement for you. Some direction. Take heed according to God's word. That's how. So the Spirit of God can comfort us and encourage us by identifying for us the means and the way by which we can walk with the Lord. The Spirit of God, third, can convict us. What role does the Scriptures play in your life? Are they just something that you pick up on Sundays or when you're going to Bible study and you're, oh, I got to have my Scriptures? Or there are something upon which you base and form your life? The thing that directs you, the thing that encourages you, the thing that corrects you. Is it God's Word? Should be. So the Spirit of God can use this in one of the fashions we examined as we were studying. Take heed. Take heed. Not only be warned, but be corrected. Apply it. Well, I pray that the Spirit of God will take these truths and apply them in your life so that you might find some direction, some encouragement, some counsel, some admonition on how to cleanse your way. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Or an old man? Or a woman? Anyone? How shall they cleanse their way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for your grace that you exhibit towards us, in that you have provided your word for us that will direct us, encourage us, counsel us, correct us, and mold and shape us into the image of Christ, and that will allow us to walk lives of purity and holiness. I pray that these truths will encourage us tonight, and that we will apply them to encourage us to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.